Lake Grand Brewing Company. Columbus
never gets old.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spit on, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
All right, welcome to this week's Beers with the Brewers in the Kickstarter Room every Wednesday at 3:30. Today, hosting, we've got Mark, that's me, Adam Benner.
Hello.
Dan Schaefer.
Howdy-ho.
And back this week, praise the Lord, it's Walt Keyes.
Back from the grave, as you said earlier.
Back.
We were worried about dark, you, buddy. We were worried about you.
I just had a lot of work to do.
It's ugly out there.
Sometimes you got to get your work done. Mm-hmm. Everybody appreciates that. This week we're talking about concentrate.
Concentrated juice, juicy beer.
Oh, yeah.
All of the above.
Orange, peachy, resinous, and smooth, this concentrate IPA. And I got to tell you, it's juicy.
So dang.
Tacos, grilled fish with mango salsa. Chili, peach chicken, habanero. Chili.
I feel like we've had these two taco and chili pairing, but
yeah. I dropped the ball on the first one. I said I wouldn't be the first one to repeat, but I believe that has happened on my watch. I'm so sorry about that.
I think
but at
still
least
it's a
real,
great
yeah. the real recipes. So.
I think it works for this beer.
Yeah,
I have done the first one, although not obviously with this beer.
Can you leave the chicken or fish out of either one of those for vegetarians that may want to have something with their concentrate?
I don't see why not.
Just mango, I mean,
mango it
salsa.
Mango salsa and a tortilla. It doesn't sound that good.
A handful of mango salsa.
Maybe you get mango salsa and some pickled onion.
Yeah, and, I mean, at that point, you might as well just eat the salsa with chips to keep it vegetarian.
We can make a quesadilla.
It's like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, but with a tortilla instead, kind of.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
No?
Walt, you're back. Tell us what is coming up this week.
Here I am. I'm back. After a whole week away from the world-famous podcast that we do here. Lots going on, as always. I think I say that every week, just like that.
That's your tagline.
It's my tagline.
Lots going on.
You could put that on a soundboard, Adam.
Yeah.
Play that for him.
So if you're listening to this on Thursday, tomorrow, Friday, September 14th, will be Franklin's on Friday. Always a lot of action down here in the neighborhood. Across the street at 400 West Bridge, Vandarelli Room. Behind us at Idea Foundry. So come down, check out some art, come in, have a beer, some barbecue, and check all that out.
Nice weather for this weekend, unlike last weekend,
nice
where it was
cool,
a washout. No, mid-80s. We're back into summertime.
Nice and cool in my mind. If you're listening to this podcast for your weather report, that's it.
What about the wind? Anything moving in the wind?
It's pretty still out there right now.
Yeah, actually, okay. We'll probably get a lot of wind next week when that hurricane, but it's slow mover. Hurricane Florence, I think. I don't know. There's a hurricane coming in.
Yeah, big hurricane.
It's all about the wind. It can make
stay safe out there to all of our friends and family down in the Carolinas.
Yeah, if you're on the eastern seaboard, hang on tight and stay safe.
Hang on to them boards.
On Saturday the 15th, Ohio State has a big game against TCU down in the Dallas area, Arlington, Texas.
Yeah,
I think.
Dallas, Fort Worth, etc.
That kicks off at 8 p.m. and we will be showing the game outside in the beer garden with audio. We've got a giant screen projector, and that will be showing out there. That should be a lot of fun. If you don't want to be outside, we'll have it on inside too.
Go Bucks!
But it should be a pretty nice night. So come down and watch a game with us. Then Sunday, the 16th, Beer Garden Music Series. Got the Pete Mills Jazz Quartet playing out there from 3 to 6. And then also, if you want to continue your football fandom, we got the Browns game on at 1 o'clock.
Who are they playing this week?
They're playing the Orlando Nightcats.
Orlando Nightcats.
I think.
Had that close tie last week. That was...
take it.
Quite a thing.
Off to a hot start, as always, up there in Cleveland. They got their ranch dressing bottles ready to pop. We got the Bud Lights ready to drink, because that's what they're into up there. Sorry if you're from Cleveland and I offended you. The Bengals probably play as well, and we'll have that game on, too, whenever that
season
is.
Season canceled. Bengals play Thursday night, actually. They play tomorrow night.
Do they really?
Against the Ravens, so that'll be on the tap room.
quote the Raven, nevermore.
And the Browns are facing the Saints in New Orleans.
So, if you still watch the NFL, we got all that stuff. Fourth anniversary party, you may have heard of that. That's coming on September 29th, just a few weeks away now.
What is that, 4 years of beers?
That's 4 years of beers. We got all kinds of fun and weird stuff planned. I have a folder on my computer containing everyone that works at Land Grant's high school yearbook photo from their senior year.
Some of which are interesting, some of which are very flattering, and some of which are absolutely hilarious.
Yeah, if you want to know what Mark looked like in 1952 when he graduated from high school, it's something.
He graduated in 1988.
Full head of hair.
88? 87. That's close.
Wearing his Def Leppard brand blazer in front of a wall of fake books. So, yeah, a lot, obviously a ton of beer. Brewers are whipping up a lot of fun stuff, a lot of barrel-aged beer. A lot of different takes on our usual beers, plus some old friends that we've been saving for a rainy day. Again, not that it's going to rain, but it will be fun if it does.
He also
with a lot of bands, we'll be showing the Penn State Ohio State game outside. Bands have prepared a special halftime performance for that game. So just a ton of fun stuff. Saturday, September 29th. Put it on your calendar. It's free. Starts at noon. Ends when it ends. Our Halloween party, October 27th. It's also Saturday. We're doing an event with Barkbox. And it's going to be a Halloween party for dogs by day with a costume contest. And a Halloween party for human beings in the evening with DJs and dancing and another and a spooky costume contest there too. You can tell how spooky it is.
Yeah, so dress your dog up. There will be a prize for the best dog and a prize for the best dog owner combination costume.
Yeah,
Walt, what are you going to dress up as for Halloween this year?
I'm going to a wedding that is decidedly not a Halloween-themed wedding.
Are you sure?
So I'm going to go dressed as Borat because I have to wear a suit, but I figured that's a good way to wear a suit but also be in costume for the day.
I approve. Are you going to shave your beard and wear a porn stash?
Yeah, I'll have a bushy mustache, of course, to be in character.
Bushy hair.
Wow, wow, wee, wow!
Yeah.
Wow. What about you, Dan? You dressing up?
No, I don't do that.
What's Freddy going to be for Halloween this year?
He was a golfer last year. I don't know. I think I'm going to let
him
pick.
I think he came by here in his golf costume.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, yep.
Freddy Couples.
What about Margot? She got a... costume picked out?
I don't
out.
Think it's been picked out yet. She
that could
a,
be a game day decision knowing Margot. Yeah.
Helicopter
I think
pilot.
She decided at the last minute she was not going to be a helicopter pilot. Then she decided again.
Yeah.
She was waffling between princess and helicopter
if
pilot.
If I had to bet, she'll probably be a character from the Disney motion picture, Frozen. That's the better's favorite right now.
She's but loving
we'll
that.
See. We'll see. You never know.
Hmm.
A lot going on as always.
Hey, who's enjoying that concentrate?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Pretty tight.
This beer came out about this time last year as a taproom only beer, as a one-off we had down at Rheingeist Rare Beer Fest. Our friends down in Cincinnati had us down there, and Dan whipped up this recipe that debuted there, and we had it on tap for the anniversary party, but there was not a lot of it. So we decided to brew some more.
Yeah, I was all hot and frothy from my visit to the West Coast, and Yakima Chief in their hop school. So I'm like, why don't we do a beer with all the techniques that I learned while I was out there? And that particular beer had Mosaic Cryo, Centennial Standard pellet hops like we use in any other beer, and Amarillo hop extract. So for this, mix it up a little bit. This time it is Mosaic is a standard hop. Just recently, Yakima came out with Centennial and Amarillo Cryo, so we thought we'd give those a try.
Did we do a episode? Did we talk about Cryo during the episode from the Space Grant series?
Yeah, with the Binary Star.
Yeah, so Cryo is a different approach, more lupulin powder as opposed to the entire
they
pelletized
use,
plant.
It's some type of supercritical extraction technique that they don't really get into fully. It's the general gist of it is they're twice as concentrated as normal hops. So if you add an equivalent amount, you're going to get twice the hop aroma, flavor, punch. And, allows you to just basically add a lot more hot punch to your beer and get more out of it, really.
Sweet.
I'm getting a lot of hot punch out of it.
I'm glad. But we also, that last one, we used the sort of classic New England yeast, the London Ale 3. I think it's a Conan variant that throws off super peachy esters. While that is a very nice yeast, it's also temperamental, and when you repitch it, it sort of loses that peachiness that makes it so unique. So we used our house English strain that we, I think it got propped up with Mutter for this batch.
Yeah, the episode we talked about Mutter was with that English yeast strain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it throws off, it's still stone fruit. You're also getting some sort of berry esters off there, a little bit of cherry. So it's really cool. It's sort of the whole melange kind of comes together like a fruit cocktail thing.
It's fruity.
So looking at this beer right now, it's pretty hazy. I know when we have done some in the past with that as an intention, our other yeast is very high flocculating and clears them out. Right now, we're drinking this right off the bright tank. It just got transferred. It's going to be packaged Friday. Is that the
Yeah, it got idea? Transferred 3 hours ago. So
it's not fully carbonated, but it'll probably have this nice haze to it.
Yeah. So right now we're drinking it out of a plastic 2 liter that I tried to carb up with our carb cap and did a bad
got about
job
half
at.
There. Yeah.
It looks a little like we're drinking prison hooch, but considerably tastier.
Yeah. Shout out to Canada
or,
Dry
or some yeah really bad Canada Dry. Canada Dry that's turned.
I tried to make sure that we really got the Canada Dry flavor out before I stuck it in there, but yeah. Now that the BA has actually added a style guideline for hazy style beers, we want to go through that. Mention that they are like slightly hazy, Hefeweizen like to opaque. So I think, yeah, just right into the bright tank. This definitely falls in the opaque category. But 6.3 to 7.5% ABV, 50 to 70 IBUs, although we were a bit lower than that. Again, trying to round up just like a very gentle bitterness to balance all the fruit from the hops and the esters of the yeast. Minimal malt presence compared to a big old juicy hop presence. In terms of the balance of it all, it should be very saturated, which I find this to be with all those hop aromatics. Should have a rounded mouthfeel from all the oats and wheat that we stuck in there. And as I said before, subdued bitterness compared to something that you hop like a double or a triple IPA. Examples, the first being the Alchemist Heady Topper, I think was the one that started this all. More recent examples, Treehouse Julius, Trillium Fort Point, which I have had the benefit of having thanks to, I think Patrick mulled that back for us, which was quite a tasty beer. The Alchemist and Heady Topper was sort of the beer that people first started going on pilgrimage to the Vermont area to try these type of beers. And then shortly thereafter, you have people like Hill Farmstead and Bissell Brothers and others that emulated the style. And since then, it sort of spread down the coast and then across the country, really. I think most people have at least tried to brew one of these.
Yeah, now even the larger national craft breweries are putting this in a larger. Sam Adams has one.
Actually, Sierra Nevada has one. Pretty damn good.
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean that for something that's a really fragile beer, I think that takes a lot of guts to brew. You know, a couple hundred barrels of it.
Yeah, I was just reading on the Craft Business Daily yesterday. They were talking about. I can't remember who it was exactly. Well, I don't know if you looked at it, and it was someone that's doing about 50,000 barrels and talking about the reluctance to brew even more of their hazy style IPA because of how volatile it is and only lasts really a couple, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think what you see, though, is most people, these beers, when they come out from different breweries, they're gone. No one is trying to sell her these. And
or you brew a little bit and you charge a massive premium for it. I know there's some people doing like 4 packs for 20, 22 bucks.
Yeah. But hot on the black market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm sure for some people, like, you know, the journey is all a part of the fun of it. But, I mean, if you're going to travel across the country, you go to a Treehouse or wherever and buy beer for that much money, you take it home,
might
you better
as well
hope
mule
it's
it back. Yeah.
Damn good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I recently got to try with the Heady Topper, the Heady Chetty. So they have a Heady Topper cheese that they sell at the brewery now.
I did not know that.
Pat muled that back, and speaking of vegetarian...
A lot of muling going on here.
Yes. Speaking of vegetarian pairings, the cheddar cheese is nice, sharp. Cheddar cheese went very well with their beer and had their beer in it.
Very nice.
They make a good cheese up there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I like a Vermont cheddar.
Who doesn't?
I don't know.
Clearly, passed the rounds here. Yeah. Like, everybody here is approving.
Vegetarian approved.
Yeah.
Vermont cheddar cheese pizza.
And let's clear that up. Not vegan approved, so don't get confused out there.
Yeah, for you vegetarians out there.
Yeah, well, I just mentioned quickly that around here, Hoofhearted does quite a bit of hazy-ish stuff. They don't always call it NIPAs.
Quite well and juicy, too.
Yeah, Platform as well. North Eye does Mr. Fahrenheit, which is a nice beer. And Zaptig does Hazy Miss Daisy.
It's my favorite beer they make.
Yeah, it's really nice. But Concentrate is 7.5% ABV, 42 IBUs, and as mentioned before, Mosaic hops along with Amarillo and Centennial Cryo hops. We did pale ale malt from our silo, malted oats from our friends at House Malts, some red wheat malt, and some honey malt. But yeah, I think that was, along with some research I did, some help from Luke, formerly of Streetside, we did our collaboration with, mentioning that if you use malted oats as opposed to flaked oats, the proteins get chopped up a little bit more, and they don't fall out of suspension, so they'll stay up there. So I think that's probably the big difference in this from stuff we've done in the past that dropped pretty bright.
Last year, as we mentioned, this was just a pilot batch. We are throwing this in cans. It will be available at the tap room on Friday. This may be the last of our seasonal cans. They get to go in a nice, clean, silver can. That's a something maybe for another day, but we're all feeling the shortage of bright cans, as they call them, the silver cans that a lot of people are going into when we all switched, either started out canning or folks that have switched from bottling into cans and doing a lot of these one-off seasonals, not doing a ton of volume to get them printed. If you've ever been on the tour, I always talk about it's about 250,000 cans if you get a printed can. It's a full truckload of 25 pallets. And right now we're waiting, like many other breweries around the country, feeling the pinch on a can shortage right now. So we might be getting creative with putting some of our beer in some 1862 cans, which we just got a fresh truckload earlier this year of. But we'll see. I know Mark's been working
hard.
Yeah,
so if you're listening
that.
To this podcast and you have a warehouse full of aluminum cans,
come up
cheers
with
them. LandGrantBrewing.com. Yeah. Let us know.
I think using cans will be a lot better than spent Faygo bottles, for sure.
Canada Dry.
Canada Dry. What the hell we're drinking today?
Faygo. Wow.
Faygo.
Does that go back to your...
Dated reference.
Does that go back to your...
Is that what they served at your graduation party back in 1953?
Juggalo days?
Juggalo doc days over there.
Oh,
for those of you that know.
Was Faygo what people drank when they couldn't afford Orange Crush? Is that how that worked? The poor man's Orange Crush.
Something like that.
Such an infectious laugh.
Jordan's here.
Hey. Whoa, clean cut Tony.
Warehouse boys are here.
This guy, look Tony, at looking those good. Guys.
So dank.
Yeah. Tasting through this beer, I know we've had a couple comments on it. We mentioned the appearance. It's going to be pretty hazy. As Dan said, kind of the guideline being more along the Hefeweizen realm. So looking through it, can't really see through it.
It's fruity AF, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Would you say these New England styles are popular?
Nah.
So I feel like I do get a lot of that peach still in it, apricot-ish, that stone fruit you're talking about from that aroma.
Yeah, I think from the pilot batch, first time we brewed this, and then a similar beer with Corsica, it not quite as straight up orange juice, although you certainly get a bit of that.
I would say.
Like an orange juice cocktail, if you will.
Yeah, and I think the last one was more like fresh peach, and this is kind of like peach rings, peach candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those like pink and yellow, or those yellow and red rings. Yeah.
Things, yes.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But gummy candy.
You do get that. Again, it's there's a little bit of hot burn from this because it did just get transferred today, but hopefully it should round out nicely, and you do get that nice. Yeah, I mean, you can just tell when you swirl it around the glass, it's got a nice viscosity to it from all the oats and the wheat.
Yeah, definitely. It's always tough to judge a beer this young until it gets fully up to its carbonation, but I don't think this beer is going to stick around too long.
No, I need another 2 liter already, and I'm just getting started.
Yeah.
That's a good segue into our crushability index.
Man, you know, I got to tell you, it's like a 4 liter crusher, I think. It's taking me back to my Sun Country days as a teenager.
Sun Country?
This is also one of those dangerous beers, but I think less dangerous, obviously, coming in at 7.5% as opposed to where Batch 300 or CMYK come in the mid eights, you might be able to do a full 3 on this.
I think so. It's the English strain is not quite as attenuative as our Pac-Man San Diego strain is, but yeah, I'll go 3 on this.
No way, I'm up it in a can. I'm going 4.
No, you're gonna 4. That's straight to the doghouse. You're gonna get yourself in trouble.
I will say for this TCU Ohio State game, I'll probably drink 4 throughout the course of the game.
Yeah.
But I'm going to be home by myself.
See, well, honesty is the best policy. I got two. Walt, thanks. Well,
the kids will be asleep. I'll be watching the game solo, unfortunately. But all you fun folks down here watching the game in the beer garden.
Yeah. Hey, shoot me a text, Walt.
Arrange yourself a ride home. And
shoot me a text. I'll fire back an emoji or two.
Okay, you let me know how it's going. Yeah.
So, Mark, you were at a 4-2, Walt, or you had a 3?
I think for a normal day, I think 3 is more than enough, but I think
that's ridiculous.
If you're, you know, responsible if you're celebrating crushing. Or something, yeah. You're, you know,
I mean, I'm saying if you didn't have to drive, though.
Well, yeah, I can probably drink. I can drink some beers.
Thanks. He's at a 4. Walt's
I'm not
right.
Put me so at a 4. Put me at a 4. Crushability scale.
Yeah,
it's really not backing down.
Mark is wanting this at a 4, but I think it settles in at a 3.5.
Three
so.
And a half. And
I think
that's
yeah,
that's good.
I think
that's
it's good. It's a situationally a 4, but. Real, you know, normally a 3.
Dan and I have a full 6-pack for the weekend.
There you go.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, 2 days, 6 beers, perfect math.
There you go.
Walt, we're in trouble. We could get together for the game and get 3 6-packs.
I got indoor plumbing at my house. Yeah. If you want to come over.
Ooh, that's a touchy subject for Mark. His Mark has been living in a construction zone for the past 2 months.
Hasn't bathed in months.
And, we're on our 14th week of a 10-week project.
As construction projects go, they cost twice as much and take twice as long.
Yeah, I haven't seen the bill yet, but that'll be debatable.
So this week we did have a question from a listener. Mr. Radford on Instagram said, are there any gluten-friendly or gluten-removed beers in the near future? So this is, we might have touched this on the podcast before. This is a shout out to my mom, who is a celiac, and my sister, who is gluten intolerant. So things probably aren't looking too good for me. And then found out our good buddy Jeff Lessons is now.
Well, you've probably done more to build up your tolerance to gluten than they probably did.
That could be. So yeah, our buddy that was in for wedding last weekend, Jeff Lessons, is now in this similar boat. So we do always at the tap room have a tap that has always been gluten-free. It's a cider tap from our friends over at Mad Moon Cidery that here in Columbus that's never had a beer go through it or a non-gluten-free product. So you would be okay. We also do carry some cans. But so the question about us making that sort of beer, it is something we've thrown around. A lot of beers that you see out there that either claim gluten-free are generally gluten-reduced. Stone Delicious IPA, the Omission beers from Widmer Brothers, Prairie Path from Two Brothers in Chicago.
Yep.
But all those beers are actually made. They can't be called gluten-free. They're actually gluten-reduced. They use an enzyme.
Clarix. Clarity Firm is the brand name.
Right. So it was originally developed as a clarifying agent for beer, and they found that it actually reduced the gluten levels in beer. It was a unintended consequence. I believe Estrella from Spain, Dam and Dura, I think those are also use the Brewers Clarix. Really the only beers that are truly gluten-free out there, you have Red Bridge, and then Milwaukee Brewing or Lakefront makes.
There's a reason why there's not a lot of them. They don't taste very good.
Right. Those are sorghum-based for the most part, and sorghum is disgusting. Yeah. If you've ever had a sorghum-based beer.
Yeah, just drink cider.
Greens from Belgium, are they Belgium greens? They comes in a green bottle. They also make sorghum beers.
Yeah.
Those are disgusting. So that the problem, and a lot of those, Omission does it. I believe Stone does it as well. They will take each batch and get them tested to show the gluten levels, and for the most part, they are below the accepted gluten-free rates. But if you are a celiac, that is dangerous because you still
not enough.
You might react a little differently. If you're gluten intolerant, generally you can drink those beers, but it's definitely something to be wary of. Just because it says it's gluten-free or whatnot doesn't necessarily mean it is. For a time, 1862, we did use the Brewer's Clarix in it. One of our issues, just being such a small brewery, we would send it off to get it tested, but because we weren't sure if that was something that we were going to continue, we never fully advertised that to folks to make sure that, like right now, we don't use the enzyme in it. It ended up being a very high cost for us every time that we would send it off to get tested, as we don't have that sort of equipment in-house. There are potential on the pilot system to mess around a little more with that, to have some beers here at the tap room. The issue is they'd probably be served in a tap that had beer through it, so it wouldn't truly be gluten-free. I know there's some folks that can't even eat French fries that have been fried in the same fryer that has flour. So depending on your sensitivity, just being careful. Even there's ciders out there that a lot of people assume are gluten-free, but they're made on the same equipment as the beer is, and it's not really sure if those levels would be safe because they're not testing it. So affects a lot of folks, a lot more folks these days. It is something we are sensitive here at the brewery, but we can't make enough beer at this point. So it is
so potentially in the future, but we don't have any immediate plans.
But no, great question. Mr. Radford, we'll get your information through the social media, and we'll send you your very own Land-Grant University shirt for sending in a question to the podcast.
So yeah.
Thanks for doing that. And if you do have a question out there, shoot us an email, cheers@landgrantbrewing.com, Facebook, Instagram, website, Instagram.
We'd
love answering the questions.
Instagram and Facebook or email. Those are the best. Twitter, too, I guess, but we're not as active on Twitter as the other two, but we'll see it. It just might take us a day.
MySpace. Any MySpaces?
No.
No.
You cannot, actually.
Friendster.
Don't have any of those accounts. Oh, boy. Right through the nose, folks. Right through the nose.
I just took a third crusher through the nose.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. So, upcoming episodes of Beers with the Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
Next week, talking on Land-Grant history.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wow. Yeah.
We did highlight a little bit of that a couple weeks back, but this will be all the way back. We're going to get our Trapper Keepers out.
I think Q's going to join us. Joey Chambo.
Oh, cool.
Jeppy.
Go way back to the early days. And
maybe we'll have a phone call. We can arrange some phone call-ins.
Call-ins.
That's Mr. Dwyer. It'll be.
And it should be fun. And Yeah. Talk about the anniversary party. Talk about the beers coming for that. One of which, Dropout Bourbon Barrel Aged Imperial Stout, tastes mighty good.
Yeah.
And listen, next week we're going to be announcing a contest to get VIP status at the anniversary party via the Dropout Barrel Aged Imperial Stout can release. So,
ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Wow,
definitely
cool.
Stay tuned for that. You're going to want to get that VIP status.
Mm-hmm. So that episode will be out next Thursday. And then the week after that, we're doing the Sun Grant beer. So Sun Grant beer comes out next week. But because of the anniversary party, we're going to talk about Sun Grant in 2 weeks and history next week.
Good news is we won't be drinking out of a 2-liter.
That's wonderful
news. We
can
have the finished
product. Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row. But yeah, we're early on the episode. But that's all right. The beer's still been great.
Yeah, if you are wondering about the Sun Grant beer, it's this year it's going to be a session ale brewed with fossil-free malt from RAR Malts.
Correct.
If I'm saying that correctly.
RAR.
And also some Ohio malt from House Malts here in Ohio, and some hops from Ohio Hops.
Yeah,
so
it's awesome.
That'll be out tomorrow. Yeah, that'll be out end of next week.
I'll tell you, I saw the can label, too, in the poster. Absolutely cool. Yeah. Looks so amazing.
It's called Eos, which is named for the Greek goddess of the dawn.
Whoa.
Wow, yeah.
She sounds very nice.
Yeah, you know. All right, Mark, you coming over to watch Borat this weekend?
It's very nice.
Wow. You got your...
second one through the nose on the episode.
That was awesome.
Jeez.
So much beer going through the noses here. Walt, that's what you get for dissing me.
You just snuck that Borat quote in so effortlessly.
Brought it full circle there. All right. Well, hey, I think that's enough for this week. Thanks again for joining us, all you listeners out there. Have a great week. Come down here, have a beer with me. I'm hanging out.
Go Bucks.
Thanks, everyone.
Go Bucks.
Tip your bartenders.
Gotcha. See you.
Browns better watch out for the Orlando Nightcats.
This is back in Mark's day here.
Yeah.
You're a big Beavis and Butthead fan.
I remember when that was funny.
It's timeless humor, Mark.
Yeah, your timeless humor.
You realize that it's like the classic old man comeback, right?
What was that?
What's that?
Just repeat the last thing that the person said before you.
It's
and
easy,
says,
so
you're, I only mention it because it's my dad's classic play.